Please remain standing, and we will be looking at Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. It's Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. We'll pray for the Spirit's guidance. Our Lord and our God, as we open your book of life, I just pray that you do give us ears to hear, Lord, and hearts to obey. Lord, I pray that you burden us with your commands. Lord, I just pray that you show me mercy and use the words that I speak to represent you properly, Lord. Lord, we pray these in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. I think we'll stop there because that's as far as the sermon got this day. So you can be seated. You know, as we continue on in this great book of Ephesians, we have come to the portion where now Paul is instructing us as saints how to equip ourselves for spiritual battle. Now, I like the way he phrases it. He says, put on, put on. He doesn't say that God is going to put it on you. We have these tools available to us, but we have to make an effort to use them. The burden is on us to protect ourselves and to advance God's kingdom. We are in a battle. We are in a battle every day for our lives, the lives of our children, the spiritual lives of our children, our friends, our family, and those that God has put in our circle of influence. That battle rages continually. But not only that, we are commanded by God to be in battle for our neighbors, for strangers, for the oppressed, whether they're our brethren or not, for those who may be killed, tells us rescue those who are about to be put to slain. How about the preborn? Now again, this battle is fought in the natural realm, and it affects our daily lives. But we must remember the victory over these battles comes in the spiritual realm. And the battle is fought in the spiritual realm. And it must be fought with spiritual weapons. Weapons beyond ourselves. Now, last time we looked at Daniel 10, and we're going to do a little refresher on that. It demonstrates clearly spiritual battle. Daniel had a vision from God, and he was praying to God for interpretation of that vision. Praying for 3 weeks. An angel came to him. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you have set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God. Your works have been heard." Daniel's prayers were heard, just as our prayers are heard. "And I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So an angel withstood. The angel, the messenger from God, was hindered by a messenger of Satan who withstood him. 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. A greater angel of God had to come and defeat the angel, the demonic angel. You know, there's different ranks of angels. There's different ranks of angels on our side. There's different ranks of angels on the devil's side. But the battle was initiated by Daniel. He was doing God's will. He was pleasing to God. He was praying. He was seeking out, God, what you would have me to do with the words you have given me. But that spurred the evil angel to block his answer from God. But we must understand the sequence. Our daily lives, the actions we go around daily for God, will initiate spiritual battles in the heavenly realm. They will come. They will come if you step out in faith, if you pursue to do what God wants. There's a spiritual battle happening, but the results of that battle also affects us here on earth. You know, the Lord tells us in his book, you will have troubles in this world. He tells us to pick up our cross daily and follow him. Those troubles will come daily. Yes, we have peace that surpasses all understanding, but that does not mean we will not have difficulties. And these difficulties, these battles, will continue your whole life. And I'll guarantee it, the more you step out for God, the further you try to advance his kingdom, the more faithful you are following his word, the stronger the battle will be against you. It will rage after you. Satan will try to destroy you. Because the trophies both of us are after are the saints of men, the souls of men. Isn't that what the advancement of God's kingdom is? The saving of men? The gathering of the saints into his body? Satan has one goal. He wants to stop as many souls being saved as possible. You know, the Apostle Paul on his missionary trip in 1 Corinthians 16:5, he says, I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay there and spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me. So Paul was having great success in Ephesus. He wanted to stay there longer. Souls were being won. He was doing God's will. But listen to the end of this sentence. And there are many adversaries. What Paul is saying, he was going right where the battle was raging the hardest. The battles for the souls of men. He saw a great opportunity, but it was not without difficulties and trials from the adversary. The Christian life is a battlefield. And if anybody tells you or preaches anything different, they are wrong. They are a liar. It's a battlefield. It is not come to Jesus and your whole life will be easy, fine, and he'll cure all your problems. Many times when you come to Jesus, your problems have just gotten a lot greater. They may even cost your life. Look at the Christians in the communist countries or the Muslim countries. You come to Jesus, you may be beheaded the next day. We battle spiritual forces, and they are varied. They are evil. They are wicked. They've been here a long time. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Against rulers. These are rulers who have given themselves over to evil. Look at Pol Pot in Cambodia. Hitler. The rulers of ISIS. Can you imagine the things they do? Beheading people, burning people alive in cages, claiming they're doing God's will. The evil behind that are the demonic angels who influence rulers. We fight against authorities, evil laws, men who pass evil laws. Look at our own nation. Was it 40 million, 45 million killed through abortion? Because of an evil law, because a few handfuls of justices said, "Thus we say you can kill babies." Who is pleased in that? Satan. Satan is behind it. You know, what if the church would have stood up when that law was passed? You know, now 75 or 76% claim to be Christian back there. It was probably more. Where was the church? Where was the church saying, "No, God says this is murder. We will not let it stand"? It would have been ended immediately. But the church sat on their hands and did nothing. 40 million deaths later. And where is the church? Oh, we have to follow government. Do we really? Are they greater than God? The devil is real. The demons are real. Isaiah talks about how he saw the great angel being cast out of heaven. And Ezekiel says he was the anointed cherub, the highest being that God had created. And when he swept his tail, he took a third of them with him. The third of the angels are now under the control of Satan. I don't know how many that is. It tells us a multitude of hosts in the heavenlies at times. I don't know how many, but I know there's a lot, and I know they go to and fro in the earth seeking who they can destroy. The apostles believed in him. Paul, Peter, James all talked about him. History tells us he tempted Eve, tempted Jesus. He opposed God's work in Zechariah 3. Says, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him." Satan is an accuser of the saints. Tries to neutralize us. He's a liar. The Bible affirms he is the king of liars, the author of liars. He's a deceiver. At times he comes as an angel of light, an imitator of God to the people. He twists the scriptures to make people believe it to be God's word. However, in reality, it is a doctrine of demons. And that's just a few of the characteristics of our adversary, who has been around for centuries. He's good at what he does. And he's subtle. He's subtle. He's wily. He's cunning. And what his duty is to stop the advancement of God's church, which makes him an enemy of God, which makes him our enemy. And this battle has been raging on since the Garden of Eden, right to this present day. And it will not stop until this world ends as we know it. So how does Satan attack God's people? How does he attack any people? It's the truthfulness of God is what he challenges. What did he say to Eve? Hath God really said? Can't we just twist and turn this a little bit? Is this truly what God meant? And we see it in today in many of the churches, unfortunately. How sad it is when churches support abortion. I know years ago when Priscilla and I were in the pro-life movement, I talked to a lot of the churches in Watertown. And one of the pastors bragged how he would take young women behind the backs of their parents to have abortions, claiming that it was doing God's will. The denomination had decided that that is the best way to do God's will. How would you like your kids in that church? I told him he better hope that it's his denomination that is judging him on Judgment Day. But they take what God has really said and twist it and say, well, abortion's all right. As a matter of fact, we'll help the women have abortions behind their parents' backs. God condemns homosexual marriage. And now the churches are saying, well, it's not that bad. Maybe we should just do it and call it a civil union or something. You know, when Satan twists the words of God, it results in temptation to God's elect. And if we fall for this, that God cannot be trusted, we rely on the doctrines of men to trump the doctrines of God. And what happens is we let culture wave the Christians and influence Christianity instead of Christianity influencing the culture. And that produces ineffectiveness for the church to bring about new disciples for Jesus Christ. Because God places a high emphasis on his truth. It divides the church. An example is this week. We're leaving Wisconsin classes. Because we're saying, no, God hath not said that, and we will not obey what you do or allow it. It separates churches, which hinders God's commission to build the nations. But not only that, that separation leads to persecution of the true believers when it reaches its fullest. Who was the people who killed many of the saints of old? Who burned them? Who tortured them? It was the false religious leaders. It was the Catholic Church who killed and martyred many of the saints. It was the state church in Holland that persecuted many of your forefathers, imprisoned and stole their land. But it all started with Hath God really said? And as a nation, who are called the evil ones? We are. God says abortion is sin. Oh, you're unloving. God says homosexuality is sin. Oh, you're intolerant. You're a hate monger. You see how Satan, over time, twists and turns to call good evil and evil good. The victory for the enemies of God always starts with the compromising of His word. Hath God really said? And it's our duty to stand up and say, yeah, that's exactly what God said, and that's where we stand as believers. And that's why Paul masterfully starts with the equipment that we need in verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Now, Paul is using an everyday thing that his readers at that time would be aware of. The uniform of a Roman soldier. He'd have a leather belt on. Usually it was leather, sometimes cloth, but it was a heavy belt, a strong belt. Usually had straps going over the shoulders because it would be used to carry the sword as well. But they had that belt on. And that belt was for preparation for battle. Preparation to hold the sword. Preparation to hold, to represent and to fight for their leader. It was a soldier's duty to be prepared to battle whenever the cry came. If a Roman soldier would sense danger, the first thing he would do is gird up his loins. That means the long tunic he wore, he'd take it and tuck it in the top of that belt, the four corners of it, so he wouldn't be tripping or falling over it if he had to fight or run. He didn't want anything to hinder his fighting ability. You know, that soldier was commanded by his commander to be ready at all times for battle. And that's a perfect picture for us as believers. In 2 Timothy 2, it tells us, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Who enlisted you? It was God. He enlisted you as soldiers. He drafted you. Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. As you can see, you're all soldiers of the Most High God. But not only that, you are commanded to do his bidding here on earth. You know, that is the purpose for your salvation. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me daily. He's saying, engage in the battle. Fight the battles. You know, most of these battles take place in our circle of friends, our family. And that's fine and good. Training up your children. It's a battle in this day and age. What you allow them to see, what you don't allow them to see, the friends. Even the friends we have. It's a battle. But it's that everyday battle in those, that sphere of influence and at our jobs. But we're commanded to fight it for God, to represent Him properly. But there are other times when we take the battle to the enemy. What did Abraham do when Lot was kidnapped? He went and advanced on the enemy territory and battled there. You know, the midwives, they battled with their everyday lives when they're commanded by Pharaoh to kill the male children. But there are times in your lives when we must step out and advance, take the offense for God. And I believe one of those times is that March 14th day. We stand up against the government and say, "Thus says the Lord, you shall not kill." We must be standard bearers of the truth. It starts with there. Each and every believer must put on the belt of truthfulness. You must be equipped to represent God properly. What does Peter tell us? He tells us to give a reason, for a hope for what you have in you. To be able to give an answer. How do we do that? It's by studying God's Word. And why was God's Word given to us? Why did Jesus come here? He came here to bear witness to the truth, is what he told Pilate. John 1:17, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." The high emphasis on truth. We cannot compromise God's word. We will lose every battle. It starts with the belt of truth. And that truth is found where? Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. It's the Bible. Teachings of the Scripture. We must be students of the Bible as believers, because how will we understand a counterfeit if we do not know the truth? Because that's what Satan is. He's the great counterfeiter. He wants his false teachings to look as close to the Bible as they can to confuse us. You know, a counterfeiter doesn't make money that looks like Monopoly money. He wants it to look as close to the real dollar bill as possible, or $100 bill. Satan's the same way. And then he just takes a little bit of that truth away, a little more, a little more, a little more, and we end up with a nation that we have today, killing 45 million babies, accepting homosexuality, calling evil good and good evil. It is because of the compromising of the truth. We have the book of life. It is sufficient for all of life. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, which would be any believer, may be completely equipped for every good work. This is our belt of truth. And it is sufficient to train us up to battle against the wickedness of the world. And all believers, all true believers, are capable of understanding God's truth. It tells us in John 17:19, "And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth." If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are sanctified in his truth. And what will you do with that truth? Now, I mentioned that Pilate verse earlier. Here it is. "Then Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king.' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who hears my words will listen to his truth.'" You who are of the truth, that's all believers, listen to his voice. know, saints, we must recognize where our strength lies. It lies in that belt of truth and the teachings that we learn through the scriptures. That is how we can engage and win the battles that we fight. The spiritual battles that are around us, but they're fought here, right here, in our daily lives. Again, many of these battles, or most of these battles, are initiated by God's saints. They enter into the heavenly realm, are battled out there. And that comes right back and affects how we live and how many people are saved here on earth. But it's truth. The belt of truth. So you have to ask yourselves, do you carry that belt of truth, or is it hanging on the shelf? Where God has says, here it is, but we haven't really put it on yet. You know, God wants us to be victorious. He commands us to be faithful. But you know, whether you go out with truth or not, I think it is a testimony of somebody's faith. And many of these false beliefs and that, we say, well, they're just straying, they might be a little confused in that, but I think it's deeper than that. Many of them are being demonically influenced. It's devastating the church. Evolution is devastating the church. Abortion. Homosexuality. It's devastating to God's people. So we can only logically conclude that if it's damaging the church, the force behind it must be demonic. I'm going to end with John 8:44. And these are the words of Jesus. Talking to the Jewish people who reject him, who want to kill him, who have twisted his words so much that they call him evil and that he deserves death. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. The father of lies. Why is our nation in the shape that it's in? Why are our churches losing so many young people? It's not just this church. It's wherever I preach. It's worse in England. Worse in Europe. Many of the churches there just meet in the sanctuary because there's only a handful of believers. It's because the church has not put on the belt of truth. People of God have not put on the belt of truth and lived according to God's word. Pure and simple. We are to be truth bearers. That is how God's church is advanced. That is how the enemy is tore down. And I pray that each and every one of us will put on that belt of truth and seek out to understand it as clear as we can. Amen. The offering today.